From the studios of Books in Motion in Spokane, Washington, this is your reader, Gene Engany, with a new manuscript we are offering for the first time, entitled The Fourth Ace by Bernie Kite. Chapter 1. When the woman closed her eyes for more than half a minute, her lashes froze together and sealed her eyelids shut. Earlier she had fought to keep her vision clear. Now it no longer mattered. Eyes open or closed, she saw nothing. No saw-toothed skyline, no trees, no trail, no low-slung cabin streaming with warm light. It was up to the horse now. He had to see and think for both of them. Give a horse his head on a dark night. Wasn't that what people always said? She frowned. Maybe people didn't know what they were talking about. Maybe other horses weren't as stupid and perverse as Old Gray. He was apt to amble off a cliff just to rid himself of a rider. But still, people did say... They said... What was it they said? She drooped over the saddle horn. Her nerveless fingers dropped the frozen reins. As she drifted between consciousness and sleep, the wind that roared through the high mountain spruce became the rumble and hiss of breakers on a rocky shore. Strange, she thought. How strange. In a storm, trees and surf sound the same, and in the dark I can't tell the difference. The words echoed through her mind. Can't tell the difference. The difference. Difference. And faded away like ripples in a well. Her head dropped lower. The woman had been in blizzards before. She knew what needed to be done. The trouble was, she couldn't do it. She'd waited too long, thinking the storm would blow itself out, thinking she would soon come across the Eureka Gulch camp. On both counts, she had miscalculated badly, grievously, and now it was too dark to find shelter. The wind howled. She jerked awake and dragged an ice-crusted mitten across her eyes. Snow streamed from trees and outcroppings, crackling cold, hard as driven sand. She tucked her chin into her collar and tugged a woolen scarf over her mouth and nose. Close by, an ancient spruce popped and groaned, crashing to earth with a force that shook the ground. The horse snorted icicles and plodded on. The scarf crusted over with snow and frozen breath. She wrenched it from her face. Biting cold seared her nostrils and stung her eyes to tears. She gulped air through her mouth. Her teeth ached. Her throat burned. She beat the scarf against her saddle, then pressed it back to her mouth. It froze again. "Damn," she mumbled through swollen lips. "Damn, damn, damn." Worse than the pain of relentless cold was the pain of knowing she had outsmarted herself, maybe for the last time. "You were too cocky," she thought. "You've always been too cocky." "No," she mumbled. "Just adaptable. Just lucky. Foolhardy and cocky. I always landed on my feet." "And now, Frederica Bimonte, you're going to die a rich woman." Chapter 2. The she-wolf's hackles rippled like pine grass bowing in the wind. Yellow eyes, fading now to blind blue, stared toward the face of the mountain as if she were watching, waiting, weighing options that would never be taken. Ice glittered on her nose and tongue, frost glazed her dulling eyes. Between splayed front legs, drifting snow turned her blood to pink frosting. Luke Hawkins turned his back to the wind and dropped down on one knee. The animal was larger than he'd expected. "Yeah, she feels damn lean," he murmured as he ran his hand over the heavy mane mantling the wolf's shoulders. "But she's carrying a belly of food. Must have had better luck than we've had, till now." Luke got to his feet and looked toward his companion. The old man was absently knocking ice from his snowshoes, their only rifle hanging from his shoulder. "An impressive shot," Luke added, "though I can't say I'm looking forward to wolf meat." Bear Walker produced an indifferent grunt. "Eh, wind's kicking up again."
Sample complete. Ready to continue?